Thank you for visiting for the third installment of Angels in the Plan of Redemption. And so what we're learning is that over every man, good and evil angels strive. It is the man himself who determines which shall win. From letter 201 in 1899. I believe that really, just as those cartoons used to show the little red angel on your left shoulder and the white angel on your right shoulder, and they would both be whispering into your mind what you should do and what you should think, I believe the enemy was mocking what is actually true, making fun of it in cartoons, but that is a reality. We will listen to either the Spirit of the Lord or the spirit of the enemy. And so my goal is to teach a little bit more about what the Bible teaches in regard to what the angels are doing in the plan of redemption. So thank you so much. My name again is Pastor Daniel Mesa, and I'm blessed to be here with you, asking that you will pray that God will help all of us understand better what it is that God has revealed in His holy word. Now, I call upon ministers of Christ to press home upon the understanding of all who come within the reach of their voice the truth of the ministration of angels. Do not indulge in fanciful speculations. The written word of God is our only safety. We must pray as did Daniel, that we may be guarded by heavenly intelligences. As ministering spirits, angels are sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Again, taken from Hebrews 1:14. Pray, my brethren. Pray as you have never prayed before. We are not prepared for the Lord's coming. We need to make thorough work for eternity. From the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, the volume 4, page 1173. We've already read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 in the quote itself, but that helps validate the truth behind the concepts. But now, the angels actually bear our prayers and petitions up into heaven. Notice what is said. I was conducted to a few rooms from which came the voice of prayer. Oh, how welcome was the sound. A bright light shone upon the face of my guide, which was an angel, as his hand traced every word of the petition. Quote, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Now, Councils on Health said that in page 412 in the third paragraph. But notice something in Revelation chapter 5 that illustrates what it is that angels are doing. It says in chapter 5, verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, which by the way are cherubim according to Ezekiel 10, verses 1 through 14, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. And those odors are the prayers of the saints. So according to the Bible, the prayers of the saints are in the hands of the cherubim, or the four living creatures, those elders that are before the throne. And so what we can see in that regard is that the angels have been given the prayers. They're holding them in their hands. So what we can learn here from Revelation 5, verse 8, is that when our prayers ascend from our lips to God, they are in, according to the Bible, Revelation chapter 5, they are in the hands of the angels, the 24 elders and living creatures, which, as we talked about, are cherubim. And so angels have a responsibility of taking our prayers and ascending on high to bring them to the only mediator that we have between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the man Christ Jesus physically is in heaven at this point. I believe he is omnipresent by his spirit, but physically he is in heaven. Now, this quote actually talks about angels expelling sin from the heart. Notice, will our brethren bear in mind that we are living in the perils of the last days? Read Revelation in connection with Daniel, kind of like Revelation with Daniel. Teach these things. Let discourses be short, spiritual, elevated. Let the preacher be full of the word of the Lord. Let every man who enters the pulpit know that he has angels from heaven in his audience. And when these angels, notice what it says, empty from themselves the golden oil of truth into the heart of him who is teaching the word, then the application of the truth will be a solemn, serious matter. The angel messengers will expel sin from the heart, unless the door of the heart is padlocked and Christ is refused admission. Christ will withdraw himself from those who persist in refusing the heavenly blessings that are so freely offered them. Special Testimonies, number 8, page 24. So what we're seeing here is that angels are the ones that minister the oil from themselves. We believe that the oil is representing the Holy Spirit. So they minister the Spirit that they have chosen because they follow the God of the Bible. And as a result of following the God of the Bible, which is a holy God, they by default have His Holy Spirit. And they minister that Holy Spirit to those who are preaching and teaching and wanting to learn. Christ, by this means, is knocking at the door of your heart. Through the angels giving the will of God, through their influence, through their words, through reminding you about what He has said in His Word, that is how Christ is knocking on the door. So the Spirit of God is in His Word, as the Bible says in John 6, verse 63. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Notice what the Bible teaches in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11. Then answered I, and said unto him, which is the angel, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? But you can see that the angel didn't give any answer. It goes on in verse 12. And I answered again, because he didn't answer me, and said unto him, what be these two olive branches through which the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Ah, so then he answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered, saying what it was that those golden pipes were, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The anointed ones we know are angels. And so the angels, according to the Bible, are the ones that pour from themselves the oil into that lamp that was in the sanctuary there, mentioned in Exodus, etc. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I, Christ, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And so the way that Christ comes into us is through his word. Now remember, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. We learn that from John chapter 1, verse 1, and also verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We also can see in John chapter 6 that the Word is Spirit and the Word is life. And so if Christ, the Word, is in us, we have Christ's Spirit or Word in us, because the Word is Spirit and life. And so Christ is in us through the Word of God. It's not that He is physically in us as a being. No, that's called panentheism, whereas God is in you or in something. No, God is in heaven, and God is omnipresent by His Spirit. And the Spirit of His Son is who He sent, who God sent. You can see that in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4, that in the right time God sent His Son, and verse 6 also, that God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, sin hinders the ministration of the angels. We know that if we want the ministry of holy angels, we need to be willing to be holy. And that alone is through faith in Christ. But notice what it says in First Spirit of Prophecy, page 175. While Moses was living in neglect of one of God's positive commands, his life would not be secure, for God's angels could not protect him while in disobedience. Protect him from what? Of course, evil angels. Therefore, the angel met him in the way and threatened his life. He did not explain to Moses why he assumed that threatening aspect. Moses knew that there was a cause. He was going to Egypt according to God's express command. Therefore, the journey was right. He at once remembered that he had not obeyed God in performing the ordinance of circumcision upon his youngest son, and had yielded to his wife's entreaties to postpone the ceremony. After he had obeyed the command of God, he was free to go before Pharaoh, and there was nothing in the way to hinder the ministration of angels in connection with his work. So we can see that angels would bless those that are faithful, like Moses in this condition. But they will not protect those who are unfaithful, because if you're not willing to be holy, why would you be ministered to by a holy angel? It would be against your will, and God doesn't force himself upon us. Neither do the holy angels. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 kind of explains that concept about being separated from God while we choose sin. Notice, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities," or your sins, your choices, "have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Notice as we continue in Proverbs 15 verse 8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Proverbs 15 verse 8. Proverbs 28 verse 9. "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." So according to the Bible, just as what we read in the writings of Ellen White, we cannot choose to follow ourselves, our own will, something that is contrary to God's will, and expect to be blessed and protected by holy angels. It doesn't work that way. If we choose abomination, then we choose not to be heard by God, by our own choices, because sin separates us from God. Now, so we've got to understand also that in the midst of these angels coming to minister to us, they are not disembodied spirits of men. Notice the connection of the visible with the invisible world, the ministration of angels of God, and the agency of evil spirits are plainly revealed in the scriptures and inseparably interwoven with human history. There is a growing tendency to disbelief in the existence of evil spirits, while the holy angels that minister for them, who shall be heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews 1:14, are regarded by many as spirits of the dead. But the scriptures not only teach the existence of angels, both good and evil, but present unquestionable proof that these are not disembodied spirits of dead men. So that's from the Great Controversy, page 511. Hebrews 13 verse 2 makes it clear, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Those are the good angels. But let's notice some of the evil angels. Notice in Acts 19 verse 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." So one man influenced by evil spirits was able to take care of seven sons of Sceva. Now that shows a supernatural power that we should not mess with. But remember, the Bible teaches that God's holy angels excel in strength, doing his bidding. So now John 1:51 makes it clear that the angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We know that those are the good, holy angels. Those are not the evil angels. The evil angels are here under their banner, the black banner of Satan. So when Christ was here on the earth, all miracles were done by the ministration of the angels. Notice what happens here. The angels of God are ever moving up and down from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth. All the miracles of Christ performed for the afflicted and suffering were by the power of God through the ministration of angels. Christ condescended to take humanity, and thus he unites his interests with the fallen sons and daughters of Adam here below, while his divinity grasps the throne of God. And thus, Christ opens the communication of man with God and God with man. All the blessings from God to man are through the ministration of holy angels. So this paragraph said, all the miracles were performed by the power of God through the ministration of angels. It also said, all the blessings from God to man are through the ministration of holy angels. And so all is a big word. All the miracles, all the blessings. I think we need to contemplate that idea. Luke chapter 7 makes it pretty clear as well, as we're talking about what the Bible teaches. Luke 7 verse 1. Now, when he had ended all the sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, the centurion, he was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So the centurion sent men, elders of the Jews, to bring Christ. It says in verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, the Jews said, and he hath built us a synagogue. In other words, he's got a lot of money. You got to come help this guy out. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Notice he says, just speak, and my servant will be healed. Why? Notice the answer. For I also, just like you, I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I will say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So notice he said, I am also a man under authority with soldiers or angels in the sake of Christ. So just tell them, your angels, to go to my servant and they will listen to you. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. As he's speaking about a Roman. And they that were sent returned to the house, and they found the servant whole that had been sick. So what happened in that story is that there is a man who's a centurion who has 100 soldiers under him. He has authority over them. He can tell them what to do, and they would do it. And he knew and recognized the same type of authority that was in the Son of God. He said, I also am a man under authority, just like you are. All you've got to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. Why? Because your servants, Christ, will go and do your bidding. Now, the centurion somehow understood that Christ had servants, which are angels, that would minister on his behalf. And as a result of this man believing that, the angels were sent and the young man was healed without Christ even going to his house. Incredible. It was through the word of Christ, through the word of God, through the angel ministration that man's servant, the centurion's servant, was healed. I find that incredible and worth contemplating. Angels, they can waft their wings, their holy wings, and scatter the darkness. Notice this one. Evil angels crowded around them, pressing their darkness upon them to shut out Jesus from their view, that their eyes might be drawn to the darkness that surrounded them. And they distrust God, and next murmur against him. Their only safety was in keeping their eyes directed upward. Angels were having the charge over the people of God, and as the poisonous atmosphere from these evil angels was pressed around these anxious ones, the angels, which had charge over them, were continually wafting their wings over them to scatter the thick darkness that surrounded them. Review and Herald, The Last Day of the Year, 1857, paragraph 2. So these angels are wafting their wings, scattering the darkness. It seems to me that when God sends his angels, like, for example, he sent an angel to Christ in the wilderness of temptation, or he sent an angel to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when these angels come and they waft their wings to scatter the darkness, we can choose to receive that light and holy influence that the holy angels are bringing. Or we can reject that by saying, no, I like the darkness that's surrounding me. I feel more comfortable there. I don't want that glorious light. So really, it's up to us. We can choose the evil angel on the left or the good angel on the right. We can listen to the voices and choose which one is consistent with the Bible and follow that. That's what I want to do. Notice it says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So Peter's in prison, the church is praying for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, in answer to the prayer, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. So the angel comes and a light shines. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. He thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. So the gate opened without anybody touching it. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Why? Because the angel had finished answering the prayer of the saints in the church. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Wow, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews." And why was it that God had blessed with the angelic ministry? Because the church had been praying. So God didn't send anybody else. He sent an angel to minister to Peter. The angel was able to get Peter up, was able to release him from his chains, was able to help him get dressed, get him out of the gate without even touching the gate. He released him, sent him on his way. It is a miracle. How? Through the ministration of angels. I find that incredible. So now Christ came to Gabriel's aid. Christ himself helped in the ministration of the angels. Remember, Christ and angels. While Satan was striving to influence the highest powers in the kingdom of Medo-Persia to show disfavor to God's people, angels worked in behalf of the exiles. The controversy was one in which all heaven was interested. Through the prophet Daniel, we are given a glimpse of this mighty struggle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. For 3 weeks, Gabriel wrestled with the powers of darkness, seeking to counteract the influences at work on the mind of Cyrus. And before the contest closed, Christ himself came to Gabriel's aid, taken from Prophets and Kings 5:71 and 5:72. So the idea that Gabriel was able to minister in Medo-Persia, but wasn't able to gain his desired end, Christ at that point came. And so the idea is that Christ helped in the ministration of the angels when the ministry of angels wasn't quite enough. Notice what the Bible says about this in Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent." So just like unto Peter, the angel was sent to Daniel. "And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." In other words, I am an answer to your prayer as an angel. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to my help, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, I am come to make you understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." So here, what's happening in the Bible is that Gabriel is explaining to Daniel that I have been sent because of your prayers. I have been trying to war against the enemy because of your prayers. I wasn't able to do this in answer to your prayers, so Michael, or Christ himself, came to my aid, and we were able to do it together. That's what's happening here in this scripture. So Christ and angels have been ministering to, on behalf of God, to his people here on this earth. That is encouraging. Now in the parable, he who asks bread from a stranger receives as many as he needeth. And in what measure will God impart to us that we may impart to others. According to the measure of the gift of Christ, Ephesians 4 verse 7 says, angels are watching with intense interest to see how man is dealing with his fellow men. When they see one manifest Christ-like sympathy for the erring, they press to his side, angels do, and bring to his remembrance words to speak that will be the bread of life to the soul. So God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Your testimony, in its genuineness and reality, he will make powerful in the power of the life to come. The word of the Lord will be in your mouth as truth and righteousness. From Christ's Object Lessons, page 148. A similar idea of these angels ascending and coming to manifest the help that you need when you're trying to witness is in John 1:51. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Nathanael, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Angels have been desiring to look into the salvation of men for a long time. That's why the Bible talks about it. First, we'll read something from Christ's Object Lessons, the same book. Through a knowledge of the plan of redemption, its truths are opened to the understanding. Far more than we do, it is our privilege to understand these wonderful themes. We are to comprehend the deep things of God. Angels desire to look into the truths that are revealed to the people who, with contrite hearts, are searching the Word of God and praying for greater lengths and breadths and depths and heights of the knowledge which He alone can give. And so, angels are looking into the same thing we are looking into. Notice the Bible actually says that same thing, 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. So here it's talking about the prophets having the Spirit of Christ in them, foretelling the things Christ would suffer, and that the angels are desiring to look into these things. What's so fascinating is, according to Revelation 19 and Revelation 22, as we had looked at before, angels have the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. They are called prophets according to their Bible, according to their own declaration. And so they are desiring to look into the words that God has given them to give to prophets, just as much as we should be interested in the words that God had given to angels to give to prophets. So let's continue to study, let's continue to understand, let's continue to pray to God to bless us with the ability to know what it is that His Spirit is saying to the churches.